Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. When it's time for a new credit card, the best ones do way more than just buy stuff. And that's why U.S. Bank offers credit cards that make every day more rewarding. Earn cash back, score points when you shop, dine out, travel, or binge watch, or get a low intro APR. U.S. Bank credit cards were designed to fit your lifestyle. So make every day more rewarding. And check out usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
DFS Podcast Friday edition for this weekend's NFL games. Hi there, football fans. I'm Paul Bruno, and I invite you to follow me, as always, at Statsman22. Joining me, as usual, is John McKechnie, who's a busy guy and a great follow, at Johnny McKex. John, as this is our last show before Christmas, we want to inform our listeners that RotoWire will be posting the next daily NFL DFS podcast next Wednesday. There will be no shows of this variety on Monday or Tuesday, owing to the holiday break. So we'll hope that you all tune in on Wednesday. I'll be back on the air with James Seltzer, covering some of the positions. I don't know if we're going to do multiple positions, but it should be a pretty packed show since we're missing 2 days. In any case, we'll have the usual plan today for our Friday pod and look forward to getting back to this week's storylines and our respective FanDuel lineups. First, though, I want to know how my partner has got his plans lined up for the holidays. John, where are you and what's up?
I'm back in Maryland right now. Very good to be home, as always. I made it to the Ravens versus Eagles game this past weekend. That was a bit more of a nail-biter than I was anticipating. But, that defense just needs to understand that sometimes a team will run a misdirection and you need to adjust a little bit. So that was a little bit concerning with Le'Veon Bell coming up this weekend. But good time overall, and looking forward to the Christmas holiday this weekend. I know that the Ravens and Steelers are on Christmas Day itself, so that kind of adds like a level of stress to my Christmas that I wasn't anticipating. But here we are.
Well, and for me, I'm at home. We got family coming, and we're going to be visiting my brother's house first on Christmas Eve. So it's back and forth, very local for me. So not too much travel miles, and very stress free in terms of the football too, because my Cowboys clinched the conference with last night's result, which we will get into shortly. John, it's Friday. That means we get to put a bow on RotoWire's weekly series of position-based pods, where we take a look at the kicker positions today and then come up with our best recommendations for full lineups as you and I share our top picks at each position. These choices will make up our FanDuel rosters for this week's games. But first, let's take a look at that last night's tilt. What were your impressions of the Giants and the Eagles?
Well, I think, kind of to your point about our old buddy James Seltzer there, I'm sure that he was pretty excited about what all went down last night. A divisional game can kind of take the records out of things and change the complexion of a game. So, the Giants were they were hot coming into this game, but they didn't have Janoris Jenkins. I think that hurt them as far as their pass defense was concerned, and they came out a little bit flat, in my opinion, and that just kind of allowed the Eagles to go ahead and capture the upset win. What did you think about it?
Well, I have lots to say about this game. Finally, we get a competitive game for a change on Thursday night, one of the few times all season, John. The Giants, as you said, were expecting to waltz in and pick all over the Eagles' carcass, but the division rivals had other ideas, didn't they? I've been waiting for a few weeks for Eli to throw some picks, and he had three of them last night. But that'll happen when you have 63 balls going in the air. And note that one of the pick six, a key play in the game, was by former Cowboy Michael Jenkins, who took it into the house for a touchdown that the Giants never really recovered from. But the Giants were expecting to win. They'd been on quite a roll. And Eli did throw 63 times for 356 yards and a TD, so the FanDuel points were sure there in the end, but Big Blue even averaged over 4 yards per carry, so all the offensive numbers were in their favor, it's just that the final score was not. So from a FanDuel standpoint, there was lots to like in the Giants' repertoire, including Of course, the quarterback tonight, but then Odell Beckham, 11 grabs for 153 yards. Victor Cruz, even, he was priced very low, I think below $5,000, and he rewarded his buyers with 8 catches for 81 yards. Sterling Shepard, 7 for 61 and a TD. On the Eagles side, if you just look at the stats here, John, you would have thought they got drilled because Wentz only had 152 yards in passing. Sproles had 63 yards in total offense. And beyond that, you know, Aguilar's caught a touchdown pass, but the offensive stats here favored the Giants by miles, but that early pick six made them play catch-up all night, and at the end of the day, that was all she wrote.
Indeed.
Let's look around the league, John, with some of the headlines. First of all, following that Thursday night tilt, it means the Cowboys have clinched the number one seed in the NFC. Of course, I'm happy about that, but it also means that games against Detroit and Philly don't mean a thing for them. I see Romo playing at least one of those games, probably the last one. Is this a good thing to clinch so early and have that quarterback controversy fueled, or can they just frame it as resting the key players at this stage?
I think it goes both ways. I think you can definitely frame it as resting your players, but I think there's a rub to it where I just think it's a little bit hubris to just sort of sit your players, especially with two games to go. I think that can kind of take whatever momentum that you had during the season and kind of like takes it out, because obviously you're going to be missing another week once the playoffs begin due to the bye. So I worry about taking your foot off the gas. I think that, you know, I think a lot of people tend to think the momentum isn't a thing in football, but I tend to believe that it is, especially in a case with playoffs concern. So I would be worried about taking your foot off the gas and putting in Romo. I know that would create an extra headache for you. I think that Dak should play throughout. I mean, I understand sitting him maybe like the second half of week 17, but beyond that, I would be worried about just kind of sitting everybody.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, on the plus side, they are looking at getting a guy like Greg Hardy finally back into their pass rush, so they could be a little stronger.
And Gregory too, right?
Yeah, that's right. So there's a couple of guys that look like they could be getting healthy there, and it might be interesting to see what this team looks like as they get into the playoff mode. But I, like you, express a little bit of nervousness for them if they do take the foot off the gas. I think it's hard to stop and start in the NFL, and so I'd like to see them just continue to run roughshod and maybe go 14-2 and finish the season on a high. But let's look at another couple of situations, John. Goff in Los Angeles, he's had an iffy rookie campaign, and he's just come through concussion protocol, and yet he's slated to start against the 49ers this week. I'm not really crazy about this decision, but wonder what you think about putting in a high draft pick who a lot of the future hopes are pinned on this guy, and he's just clearing concussion protocol. What do you think?
Well, I think if he's healthy, you need to play him. You know, obviously, we got a new coaching regime out there in L.A. now. Obviously, it's not going to be permanent, whatever they have right there right now. But I think it's important for him to just gain the experience. And I think this is a relatively favorable matchup for him going against the 49ers, who are about as big of a train wreck as the Rams themselves here. So I think this could be a game where Goff can kind of come out, build a little bit of confidence here, because I just don't think that the Niners are particularly, you know, adept at staying in games here these days, especially. So I think that playing Goff, if he is healthy, I think it's a worthwhile endeavor just to get him the requisite reps, you know, kind of build his confidence heading into year two. Obviously, like you said, he's had a shaky go of it thus far this year, but you know, that's really not uncommon for rookies. I think Dak Prescott is the exception to the rule as opposed to the rule. You know, I just don't think that rookie quarterbacks tend to fare particularly well in this league. So I'm willing to stick with Goff here, and I think it's probably a fine decision to keep him in there and keep him starting.
Now, John, the last couple of weeks I've asked you which games will you be kind of interested in watching. I have a feeling that one of them really is going to catch your attention, so why don't we kick off the discussion with that game and then also with any others that might catch your fancy, and then I'll counter with mine.
Yeah, my main one is definitely the Ravens versus Steelers. I mean, this is a game where both teams really need this one, and we haven't really seen that in recent years. We've kind of had situations where the Steelers are up and the Ravens are down, or vice versa. So this is one that's sort of for all the marbles, and I don't think the Ravens can they have a very slim hope of making the playoffs if they don't win the division. So this is a very pivotal game for them. And as always, you know, the Ravens versus Steelers is always a very physical matchup. So the fact that we get treated to it on national TV on Christmas Day, I'm very excited about that. I think it's going to be a smash mouth game. You know, no holds barred. And I'm really looking forward to that one. I think that one's the main one that I have highlighted for this week.
Yeah, I think Flacco's got a real good recent history against the Steelers, so you got that going for you. And I think Big Ben has looked a little shaky in parts of the second half of the season. So I'm leaning in Baltimore's direction. But for me, there's a couple of other tilts that grab my attention, one of which is Minnesota and Green Bay. Of course, the annual Central Division tilts late in the season tend to decide that division. And there's a few that are happening in the next couple of weeks that should tell the tale there. I'm curious to know where you stand on that. But I think Green Bay's found something in their running game, which I'll be talking about as one of my picks, actually, later on, that may give them the advantage here. And then, of course, in the later game, I'm looking at Denver and KC, another divisional matchup with that ferocious Denver defense carrying this team further than I thought they would go this year and remaining in contention in this division. Kansas City Chiefs are no slouch either, so I'm looking at this one as a bit of a coin flip. How do you feel about both of these games?
I just think that Minnesota, unfortunately, they're just literally too banged up to really do anything at this point. Obviously, they just got kind of stomped by an Indianapolis team that I did not find particularly imposing last week. They really got it taken to them at home. So I think Green Bay, with their eyes on the prize of potentially sneaking in to capture that division title, I don't see where Green Bay loses this one, especially at home. And then looking at that Denver-KC game, obviously we were treated to a classic when they played last time a few Sunday nights ago. I think we're looking at a game where it's very tough for a young quarterback to win an Arrowhead, especially at night in December. So I think that Kansas City, I give them the edge here just based on quarterback play. And I know that's kind of weird to say when Alex Smith is the quarterback that I'm giving the lean to. But in this scenario, I like him a lot more than I like Simeon. I know that Denver defense is great and all, but Kansas City is almost as good. And I think that Simeon struggles, and I think that Kansas City is going to be able to reel off just enough big plays with that Tyreek Hill guy to where I think that they will go ahead and get the win there and put themselves in really prime position heading into January.
Yeah, I think the home team is favored in my books to win both games, and it's a huge advantage this time of year, particularly as both should be cold weather affairs. John, as I said in the opening, let's go through our weekly show cycle and take a look at the kicker values on the board. You've highlighted four guys that are over $5,000 in price tags. They're all big names, and some of them have really good-looking matchups, in my opinion. Are there any that you'd be leaning on in one or two of your lineups this week?
I think, you know, FanDuel has adjusted the pricing accordingly to where any of these guys, you do have to pay up for them, but I think they're all pretty much automatic picks. We got Justin Tucker checking in at $5,300, going to Pittsburgh. We got Matt Bryant checking in at $5,200, going to Carolina. Obviously, weather's not a concern there, particularly. Adam Vinatieri, $5,100 against Oakland, and Janikowski on the other side of that equation at $5,000 going against Indianapolis at home. So I really couldn't fault anyone for using any of these guys. I think, I think Tucker's price is a bit high for my liking. I know that he's kind of matchup proof, but Pittsburgh's just a tricky place to kick, even if you're as good as Justin Tucker. So I'm probably laying off of this top tier and probably trying to adjust to a lower price tag here.
Well, let's take a look at that mid-range area, 4,600 to 4,900. There's about seven guys in there, including Gostkowski, which I'm surprised is priced as low as he is, I'll be honest. Will Lutz is another interesting pick. And certainly Boswell on the other side of that Baltimore game. But do you like any of the guys in this range or over others?
I would just like to point out a couple of guys that I don't like particularly. I think Boswell last week with his, what, like six field goals, I think that's a complete aberration for a guy like him. And like I said, Pittsburgh is a very tricky place to kick this time of year, you know, especially if Pittsburgh's facing the open end of that stadium, the wind's whipping around. I don't think that Boswell really has the leg that a guy like Justin Tucker does, so I'm probably laying off of him. I think his price jumped up because of how well he did last week. But I don't trust him. I think the guy I trust the most from this tier is probably Steven Hauschka. at 4,800 going against Arizona at home. I think that Hauschka is pretty much an automatic guy at this point. And I think that Arizona's defense is good enough to where they can probably stall out a few Seattle drives here. So I think that Hauschka might get, you know, like three field goal attempts. I trust him to hit all three of those. And then, you know, whatever extra points come in. So I'm looking at double digits here from Hauschka, and I think I'm going to roll with him out of this tier.
All right. And then in the 4,500 and under, I found a few guys in here that I could pick. And, in fact, I did choose one of them. I'm going to save that until I hear from you. And who do you like in this tier? And then ultimately, I'll ask you about your pick on the official FanDuel lineup under your name, John.
I would say from this tier, I mean, we got guys like Andrew Franks of Miami, Connor Barth of Chicago, Aguayo, Jason Myers, Nick Folk. But I think Phil Dawson, if you're going the minimum price, I think that the Rams defense has been soft enough of late to where San Francisco should be able to move the ball at least a little bit on them. And Phil Dawson, you know, he's a guy that can make a kick from almost anywhere as long as the Niners get into field goal range, and I just trust that they will. And obviously, weather's not going to be a factor in L.A., at least I don't believe, although, if you were watching the bowl game the other night in San Diego, it was pouring rain, so maybe we see some rain in L.A., I don't know. But I think Phil Dawson, of the minimum price guys, if you really are strapped and need to just kind of get that minimum price guy at kicker, Phil Dawson would be my pick there.
All right, and who is your pick for your official FanDuel lineup, John?
I'm going to lean on Hauschka. I really do believe that he's got about as high of a floor as we see amongst these kind of mid-priced kickers. That's sort of what I tend to target. I usually try to not pay up too much for my kickers unless I have some extra cash left over. So I think Hauschka, just a very safe play, kicking at home. I just see where he can hit three field goals, get a couple extra points, and you know, get hit value for you, pretty easily.
Well, and I'm going to counter that with my pick. I went to the bottom of the tiers here and found Josh Lambeau of San Diego at Cleveland for $4,500. I don't understand this price tag. I'll say that. I look at this mismatch against the winless Browns, figuring that the kicker will definitely hit the scoreboard regularly and take some savings to spend elsewhere in my lineup. This is a no-brainer for me, John, with no plausible downside. You talk about a high floor. I think the floor is really high. Might be on the second or third floor with a pick like Josh Lambeau against the lowly Browns. So I'm happy to spend only the minimum here and take advantage of that and spend elsewhere. Let's take a moment, you and I, to remind our listeners about FanDuel, John, where fantasy football fans, you have all the victory every Sunday with FanDuel. Fantasy football for everyday fans. There's new contests starting every week. There's no busted seasons. Just pick a contest, choose your team, and watch your score in real time. New this year, there's an upgraded experience that we've enjoyed. You get even more contest variety. Try beginner contests for new players only. Settle a score with a friend in a head-to-head deal. Try a 50-50 contest where the top half win cash. Play in larger tournaments for even more excitement. Play for a dollar. There's choices for every budget. In addition, we talk about our experiences every week, and John, yours was happier than mine last week. I'm sad to report that I lost my RotoWire Vegas League semifinal, leaving a couple of players on my bench instead of earning fewer points from a couple of poor starter decisions that cost me the victory and advancing to the final and all the bragging rights that come with it at headquarters. Happily, though, we still have other FanDuel contests, and I got to note that you fared very well in the staff's weekly free roll, didn't you? Tell us about your experience.
Yeah, last week I really went for the high price as far as the running backs were concerned. I stacked David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell. I only got about 40 points out of that combo. But some of my other value plays really panned out. Aldrick Robinson, he was, like you said last week, he was sort of the key to my lineup. And he showed up with 13 points. Michael Crabtree had that incredible catch in the end zone. So he ended up with 15 points out of, from a 6,000 price range. So I lucked out with some of those value plays while also kind of stacking heavily on those running backs. But I was still able to come out and finished, like, I believe, fifth in our expert contest. So yeah. I was pretty happy about that one.
And that gets you some more money to play in subsequent weeks, John, and I know you will. We're still both engaged by the FanDuel format because it offers a clean slate every week for everybody. And that's fun and entertaining for me. I know you feel the same way. And we invite our listeners to have fun with all that fantasy football has to offer at FanDuel. Be sports rich. There's a special offer for new users where you get a free six-month RotoWire subscription with a $10 deposit on FanDuel. Go to FanDuel.com/RW. Not only will you get the free subscription, but you'll have that $10 available to play with on FanDuel. That's over $40 in value for just 10 bucks. Go to FanDuel.com/RW. All right, John, it's time for the rest of our FanDuel lineups. Who do you have at quarterback?
I'm going to go with Matt Ryan this week. He's checking in at 8,100. Going on the road to Carolina, so I think that on paper that seems like an intimidating matchup, but frankly, I don't find the Carolina pass defense to be really what it was, especially without Josh Norman, and if they keep Kuechly out, then you know that opens up the middle of the field. I know that Austin Hooper, the tight end for the Falcons, is probably out, but I think that really helps the passing game as far as the running backs are concerned, a guy like Devontae Freeman or Tevin Coleman here. So at 8,100, I really like Matt Ryan's chances against that secondary. And I think Julio Jones is coming back too. That never hurts. So I think this is a situation where the Panthers might try to play spoiler here, but I think the Falcons at this point of the season have a little bit too much firepower going. And I think that Matt Ryan is gonna put up some nice numbers here.
John, I'm going to counter with my quarterback coming from the Indy and Oakland game, and listeners will say, well, who do you got? Because both of these guys are facing very poor pass defenses. I will say that this matchup clearly favors both high-octane offenses against some of the worst pass defenses in the entire league in what ought to be good field conditions, and that has to be a consideration this time of year. I choose Luck over Carr just because he's been so consistent, throwing for over 250 yards and two TDs in six of his last seven games. He'll put the ball in the air a lot in this key battle with plenty of playoff implications, and I'm happy to take my chances at this price tag on one of the better gunslingers in the league against that porous Raiders pass defense. Your running backs, who's your tandem?
Let's see. Before I get into my running backs, I really do like the Luck pick. I think targeting that game is going to be very, very crucial to a lot of lineups, especially tournament lineups, because the projected over-under is pretty high there. So I do like that pick. I like getting action on that one. But as far as my running backs are concerned, I'm going to go with David Johnson starting off 8,700. So that is expensive, but it's about an 1,100 price break from where he was last week. So I think I'll take any time I can get David Johnson under 9,000. I have to lock him in because he's almost a lock to get over 20 touches in any given game, especially a tough game like this one against Seattle. Seattle is not going to have Earl Thomas, as we've noted throughout the last couple weeks. So that sort of hurts their run support a little bit. They're not able to stack the box as well without him. And I think that David Johnson also sees so many targets out of the backfield, too. So I don't think that Seattle really has a guy that can cover him coming out of the backfield like that. So at 8,700, I really feel like the floor is pretty high there for David Johnson. I think he'll be able to see the requisite touches to make it work there, even against a tough matchup here. And then my second running back is Jordan Howard, checking in at 7,200. Washington is just terrible against the run. I mean, we saw it this past week. With the Carolina game, you know, where Jonathan Stewart, who's been a pretty big disappointment throughout the season, he was able to kind of run roughshod over them. A lot of chunk yardage that he was picking up. And I think Jordan Howard is running the ball about as well as any other running back in the league at this moment. So he hasn't had less than 75 yards on the ground since October 20th. So that's a pretty nice streak he's got going on. And he's also capable out of the backfield as a pass catcher. And as we know, FanDuel with the half point PPR, that's always just a little added bonus when you can get some catches out of your running back. And he really looked really good against a Green Bay run defense that is certainly no slouch. So I think that this is a downgrade as far as the matchup goes. He's got a really favorable one here, and I think that he's going to be able to put up huge numbers here.
Well, let's see. You talked about favorable matchups. You talked about running backs that can catch the ball out of the backfield. I guess I was listening telepathically to your preparation, John, because the two guys that I picked fit that description to a T. Perhaps no one more than DeMarco Murray of Tennessee. He gets a soft matchup against a terrible Jacksonville team, pricing him at $8,300 is a bargain, in my opinion. He's been the centerpiece of an underrated offense all year long, and he ranks second in the entire league in rushing yardage and has added 50 receptions in the passing game. He gets that favorable matchup against a horrible Jaguars run defense, and while they're tough against the pass, I see Murray get an extra amount of work on the ground in this key game for the Titans, so I really like him in this matchup. And then I'll pair him with Ty Montgomery of the Packers versus Minnesota. You talked about how Minnesota's flagging a little bit as we get near the finish line. His price tag's only $6,300, but what we've seen over the past few weeks is Montgomery, a converted wide receiver, has moved into the backfield and taken a load from Rodgers' shoulders in the offense for Green Bay and their one-time dependence on the passing game. He's coming off a huge game last week and should be used just more just because of the weakness of the Vikes' run defense. We know how good they are against the pass, so I could see more running attempts by Montgomery, and if he approaches last week's yardage total of over 130 or 140 yards, if I remember correctly, I'll be very happy with that at this price tag.
Definitely.
John, your three wide receivers.
I'm starting off with a bit of an expensive guy here. I'm going to go with Antonio Brown, checking in at 8,300. So definitely a little bit of one of the pricier receivers that we have on the board here, but I really like his matchup. I don't think the Ravens are going to have Jimmy Smith. I think the Ravens are going to load up to stop Le'Veon Bell. So I think that Brown is going to see, 12 to 15 targets here. And I think that he's definitely going to be able to capitalize on them, probably burn the Ravens deep downfield because, I mean, they're going to stick either Sharice Wright or Tavon Young on him. Sharice Wright just hasn't had a particularly good season. And Tavon Young, for how good of a rookie season he's had, he's just a smaller player. He's only 5'9". I think Antonio Brown should be able to dominate him physically if they line up against each other. So I think Brown at 8,300 is a no-brainer here. And then Julian Edelman checking in at 6,700. Going against the Jets pass defense, it just really isn't what it once was. I think one of the bigger storylines of this entire season has been the demise of Darrell Revis, and it's been unfortunate, obviously. But I think this is a scenario where the Patriots will capitalize. I know we talked earlier about keeping your foot on the gas, even if you have things kind of wrapped up. I think the Patriots are one of those teams that always keeps their foot on the gas no matter what. Edelman has seen 9-plus targets in 6 straight games, including 5 straight in double-digit targets. So I expect that trend to continue, and I think he's going to be able to have a really high catch total, and he's probably going to burn the Jets for at least one score here. So I like him at 6,700. And then going down a little bit, 6,500 for Demaryius Thomas. I really just like this tier of receivers. This tier of receivers, you got guys like Fitzgerald, Hopkins, Devontae Adams, all really good players at a discounted price tag here, but Thomas is probably my favorite here. I know that the matchup kind of dictates to where people might avoid the Denver passing attack because of how strong that Kansas City secondary is, but Thomas just sees so many targets, and I think that's just such a discounted price for a guy that has the upside of Demaryius Thomas here. So I know he hasn't scored a touchdown in a couple weeks, but I still think that he's going to see the requisite volume to where he pays off at just 6,500.
John, I love the fact that you lean on two guys that I seem to pick every other week in Edelman and Thomas. I stayed away from both of them, but I could certainly see your case for each of these guys priced so nicely, and they could each go off. But I countered with three other guys who fit that profile in a similar way, and I leaned on the fact that they all have very poor pass defenses that they'll be facing this week. So I took the number one guy in three different teams that are facing these three poorest pass defenses, and I still wound up not having to pay more than $7,600 for any of them. That $7,600 went to T.Y. Hilton of the Colts against the Raiders. As I said, in each of my receiver plays, I took the top receiver against a trio of bottom-feeding pass defenses, beginning with Hilton, who I'm pairing with my quarterback play this weekend. That seems to be one of the things that the top finishers seem to do on a weekly basis. They find that hot quarterback wide receiver tandem that really pays big, and I'm counting on these two to do it for me. I'll follow that up with Brandon Cooks of New Orleans against Tampa for $7,100. We all saw what Drew Brees did last week, and his favorite target is facing that another poor pass defense in Tampa. I think they ranked 21st in the league. I'm counting on the veteran pivot to fill the air once again, as the Saints have very little else to play for other than to pad his lifetime stats, and I think that Cooks will be on the end of enough of those to get double digits in FanDuel points easily this week. And finally, I'm picking Terrell Williams of San Diego against that Cleveland Browns team that is really hopeless on all counts. I've been looking at all the receivers who faced the dreadful Browns in the recent weeks, and I'm pretty happy with their output, so I get the top Chargers wide out and at less than $7,000 in this lopsided matchup. To me, that smells like a big bargain.
I like that.
Your tight end, John.
I'm going to go a little bit cheaper for my tight end this week, and this is a bit of a tournament play. But I think Dennis Pitta checking in at 4,700 against Pittsburgh is definitely worth a look. You know, this is a situation where Pitta has shown that he catches almost everything that's thrown his way. It's really just a matter of the Ravens offense kind of getting itself in gear here and using the tight ends in the passing game. I know that Crockett Gilmore might be back, but I don't think that necessarily eats into Dennis Pitta's targets per se. I think this is really just a matter of the Ravens pass or play calling this past week where Dennis Pitta only saw two targets. I think that gets adjusted this week, and I think we're going to see Pitta, you know, get like 7 to 8 targets, and I think we might see some red zone ones at that point because he is probably their best red zone threat. So I like Pitta at 4,700, just sort of a bit of a price break, a little bit risky because that Ravens offense tends to be a little bit unpredictable as far as the target volume is concerned. But I think Pitta has the matchup here where he should be, where the Ravens are going to be targeting him a decent bit, and I think he pays off at 4,700.
I paid up about $900 from your guy, but you can apply the same pros that you just said to Cameron Brate of the Buccaneers against New Orleans. I talked already about that suspect pass defense. It's worse than suspect. It's terrible. I have to pick Brate against that secondary. For his part, he leads all tight ends with 7 scores, and it has at least 4 grabs in each of the past 4 weeks. I think he tops that average easily in this matchup, and I think I'm expecting him to be one of my big payoffs this week, to be honest with you. And then, John, to finish it up, your defensive choice here.
Before I get into my defense, do love the Cameron Brate play. If I have enough money when I'm making another lineup, I'm definitely going to try to squeeze him in. I think that matchup is really tough to avoid at this point, and Brate's been excellent in recent weeks. Really one of the better tight end stories of this entire season. But as far as my defense is concerned, this one's a little bit off the wall, but I think the matchup is worth it. I think, you know, this sort of applies to the season-long concept of streaming a defense. I think San Francisco at 4,600, I know I sort of bashed their defense, and rightfully so, earlier in the show here, but Los Angeles' offense is just so abysmal. They're just completely lost. I mean, Todd Gurley himself said that it basically felt like a middle school offense, and I don't think he was particularly wrong in that case. So I think San Francisco should be able to bottle up this Los Angeles offense. I think they're going to force Goff into a few mistakes here, and I just think that, you know, if you're going cheap at defense, I don't think that there's a better choice than the 49ers. Obviously, there are some better ones that you'll get into at a little bit of higher of a price tag. But, you know, if you're strapped, you can do a lot worse than 49ers at 4,600 going against a Rams offense that is just abysmal.
And you remember on opening night what happened between these two clubs.
God. Niners, one of the worst games I've ever watched. I wish I didn't see that.
They pitched a shutout, so you're hoping for a repeat, I guess. And
I am.
Turnovers to boot. Well, I am spending a little bit more, but only $400 more. I can't believe that. That's the only disparity between New England and San Francisco, because New England gets the matchup against the Jets for $5,000. And, you know, in our Wednesday and Thursday podcast, I've been touting this game as the blowout of the week. You teased it again earlier in this show. The Jets have turned the ball over a ton this season. They're limping into Foxborough with a 4-10 record, poised for what feels like their annual butt-kicking. I've seen too many of the games in this series wind up with big lopsided scores when they go to Foxborough, and I think this is just going to be another one. It's going to be ugly, but I think New England's defense will pay off big. John, it's time for us to plug your DFS podcast that you do on the college side with Mario Puig. I've enjoyed it all season long, but now with the College Bowl season on upon us, it's critical for fans to have a listen. Where can they find it, and what can you tell about us about your next programs in that vein, or are we done?
We are done for the regular season, but our bowl podcast is still up. And it, you know, if you're in a confidence pool where you can still adjust your picks accordingly, we have you covered there. We went through every single bowl game last week. It's an hour and a half long show. It's a doozy, but we paid attention to everything from that New Mexico Bowl, UTSA versus New Mexico. Paid the same amount of time to that one as we did, you know, like the Alabama versus Washington playoff matchup. I mean, and that's not to say that we didn't spend a good bit of time on that one. It's really to say that we had stuff to say about every single bowl game. So take a look at that one. Thus far, I'm 6-3 against the spread. I got upset last night in that Colorado State game. I did not see Idaho putting up 60 on Colorado State the way that they did. So a little bit salty about that one. But otherwise, it's been pretty smooth sailing. Did call the Wyoming cover against BYU. So feeling good. Give it a listen. So our picks have been pretty solid thus far. And I think, like I said, if you are still able to adjust your confidence bowl picks, that's definitely worth your listen, even if it is an hour and a half long.
And it is good listening. It's get a cup of coffee, have a dessert ready, and your checklist, because these guys give you a lot of good information on these games. I can attest to that. John, it's time for your pick of the day on this schedule.
I'm going to go with Jordan Howard here. You know, 7,200, so not particularly expensive. He could be your RB1 this week if you wanted to go if you wanted to pair him with a guy that you mentioned in Ty Montgomery. That'd be a very solid backfield combo for your lineup here. Mario Puig himself, actually, now that we mentioned the college football pod, he tweeted out this week that he thinks that Jordan Howard is one of the best running backs he's seen this decade.
Wow.
And that's pretty telling, because, I mean, that guy watches more football than, you know, most people breathe. So, I mean, he knows what he's talking about. I think Jordan Howard is running the ball about as well as any other running back in the league. I love that matchup against the Redskins. I think he's going to be able to just peel off a lot of chunk yardage, even if he only sees 20 carries. I see him going for, you know, 100 plus 120 maybe, and he's going to get some catches out of the backfield as well. Redskins, I know, are fighting for their playoff lives at this point, but the Bears have been excellent at playing kind of spoiler and giving a scare to a lot of good teams here down the stretch, surprisingly. And I think that Howard has been a big reason why, and I think that he's going to be definitely a fixture in all of my lineups across all DFS sites this week.
All right, John, you've been peeking ahead at the script that I just put up. I picked Ty Montgomery of the Packers, so thanks for the shout-out. I picked this guy up because he's impressed in the last few weeks, getting more of a role in this offense in the ground game. And as I highlighted, the Vikes' run defense is not nearly as good as their pass defense. And yet this price tag looks like a deep discount on the guy with the full set of skills that Montgomery will bring to the table. He'll get a few passes out of the backfield as well, and I think in the end I expect a great return here and take advantage of the savings to spend up elsewhere. So I'm pretty happy about all that. Well, John, there you have it for you and I. It's time to wish our listeners happy holidays, so I'll give you a chance to give them a shout-out before I close out the show.
Yep, thanks for listening all season long. It's been a great ride through the, it's been really great to be working with you from April with the baseball season up through, you know, this entire NFL season. It's been a real honor to do these podcasts with you every Friday, Paul. It's something I always look forward to, and I hope our listeners feel the same.
And we're not done. We have another show or two under our belts before we switch gears to basketball. I know I've been asked to continue along, and I hope, John, that you find it in your schedule to do so, because I'd love to continue this partnership. But if not, you and I will get together in the baseball season again, I'm sure. In
Absolutely.
Any case, there you have it. For John McKechnie, who you can follow at Johnny McKex, I'm Paul Bruno, reminding you to follow me at Statsman22. We wish you good luck with your FanDuel picks. We also remind you that the next RotoWire DFS pod will be recorded on Wednesday with myself and James Seltzer at the controls due to the holiday schedule. In the interim, we wish you all a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays, everybody.